Today we're going to finish the book of Ephesians. I've been going through chapter by chapter, verse by verse of the book of Ephesians. It's been a really enlightening time, I believe, for myself especially, about just how much is in that book and how much Paul wrote to us that we can certainly live by and learn from. So today we're up to the last chapter in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we got up last week to verse 10. So we're now on the warfare of the believer today. So, very interesting part of the Bible. Very interesting. So, you know, if you were thinking about names that you would call a believer, you'd come up with a few. But would you come up with the word fighter? Well, maybe not. You wouldn't think of it to start with. But today, we are dealing with the warfare, which is the war or the conflict of the believer. So we need to learn how to fight these battles spiritually. Yes. Not just how to walk, Christian walk, we've been going through that and we do our daily devotions to help us walk our walk out. But we need to also learn how to fight with the weapons of our warfare. Now, on the day that I was saved, like truly saved, I had no idea about any of this stuff, nothing. But I discovered, because of my relationship with God that I've now come into, by default, I inherited the enemy, the devil, because the devil and God are at war. God's already won the victory, we know that. And so now, the enemy, the devil, has his sights set on me and on you too. He hates us because we are a friend of God. Now remember, Paul is writing this book, the book of Ephesians, from jail. All right, he's under house arrest, so he wasn't in a big cell underneath. He was in house arrest, in chains, chained to a Roman soldier 24/7, pretty much. They must have done shift work. So people were even allowed to visit Paul, and he was actually still allowed to preach the gospel, to preach the good news and to teach. So you could imagine that these soldiers that were chained to him would have heard the gospel. He had a captive audience. So I believe that many of these soldiers also became believers. Now, while they were chained to Paul, you could imagine he would have had much time to check out their outfits, what they were wearing and their armor and all those things. And so he studied them, you know, their swords, their shield, the shoes on their feet. And so he uses this analogy of a Roman soldier and the weapons that the warfare that protects these soldiers. And he makes this analogy in chapter 6. So you can see there how all the gear the soldiers had on. And he uses these different aspects of their dress to teach us about spiritual warfare. So let's look at verse 10. It'll be up there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. You see, Paul knew that we don't, in our humanness, we don't have the strength to fight these spiritual battles. So he's laying this as a groundwork for what he's going to say and what he's going to teach us for the rest of this section. So it's be strong in the Lord. And if you've got battles that you're fighting, you've got to be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, because our flesh is weak, and in his might and his power. Yeah. Verse 11 tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's the wiles of the devil? Let's have a look. Next slide. This means his schemes, his tactics, his strategies, his tricks, because he's good at tricking us, his deceits, which all refer to his cunning, deceptive methods to tempt and to harm people. That's what the wiles of the devil means, all his schemes. So the first thing I guess we need to know is who is our enemy, and Paul identifies it's the devil. It's definitely the devil. According to the Bible, The devil is a real person with personality. He is not just some evil force, he's a spiritual being. Highly clever, intelligent, and he's been studying human nature for a long time. And you know, he knows exactly how to customize a plan to come and attack you because he studies you and he knows how he's going to get you and he knows your weaknesses. I like this quote from a man in the 1800s, D.L. Moody. He said this, "I believe the devil is real for two reasons. One, because the Bible tells me he's real, and two, I've done business with him." And I know, I've done business with him too, and I'm sure you have as well. Peter wrote about the devil, and this is what he said. He said he's like a roaring lion that roams around, seeking and looking for whom he's going to devour. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says that we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Yet, I must say that I believe that one of the problems of many Christians, generally speaking, is that we are ignorant to Satan's devices, or even unaware of them when they come to us. The Bible also tells us that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, because he likes to copy God, doesn't he? So he transforms himself into an angel of light to deceive us, because he makes it look good. He makes evil look good. He makes things look attractive, but it's an angel of light. And when Paul wrote that scripture, he was actually talking in the context to people about false teachers and false prophets. So we need to be careful what we're listening to, who we're listening to, and does it line up with the word, and is it in context with what the word is saying? Take two or three scriptures and check it out. Because you can take one and make anything of it. So the devil will come at you to deceive you through other people. So let's be careful who we listen to. So let's just read those two verses again. That's it. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then Paul begins to tell us in the next verse what sort of battles we're going to face in verse 12, or who we're going to face against. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood," because this isn't a human battle, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." I just remembered earlier that in way back in chapter 1, where Jesus tells us of all the spiritual blessings that we've got, and he says we've got every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. So there's a real heavenly realm out there. There's a spiritual realm. Jesus, his spirit's out there, and guess what? The devil comes from that place too. So spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Now that refers to the organization of the high-ranking demonic forces, because they've got ranks there. They're like soldiers too. They've got ranks. They've got influence. Really, they're fallen angels. Remember, Jesus said he saw the devil or Satan fall from heaven like lightning, and a third of them went with him, the angels. Well, they're the demons that we fight now against. So how do they do this? They do this through temptation, through chaos, opposition to righteousness. These spiritual entities described as principalities and powers and rulers of darkness are really Satan and his demons operating from heavenly places. And this is a spiritual domain which exists with the physical world, and it requires us as believers to put on the armour of God to contend against them. So there is a spiritual war going on between the devil and God, between good and between evil, and every one of us is a part of that, whether we know it or not. Now, Paul gives us a description, you know, all those enemies and what they're called, but if you simply just want the basics, let's look at, I'll put a slide up, you could just say it like this: we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And the essence of it is that's the battle we're in. We're not fighting a battle against our husband or our wife, because sometimes the devil will come through those areas. We're fighting the enemy. And when you recognise that, you don't have to fight your human person, you know, because it's not something you're going to win that way. This is a spiritual battle. All right, so if you're fighting the wrong person, you're in the wrong battle, okay? Just remember who it is you're fighting. So we can't physically swing out and hit the devil, knock him out. We can't have a private conversation with him and convince him to back off. We cannot cry enough tears or yell enough words or do anything on a physical level to stop the enemy in that way. Verse 13 tells us what to do. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now we know that during this age of the devil, he is the prince of this world. He is in a position of authority at the moment. It's temporary, okay? We know who wins in the end. So this whole age is an evil age. But there also will be a day of evil that may come into our lives. And it's never something that we want or look forward to. But Paul says we've got to be prepared. And it's best to be prepared than to come and you have no idea what to do.
Amen.
So there's clear teaching here in these verses that if we're Christians, that we must understand that we have to use the weapons that God has given us, which is this armour. And then we can stand successfully against the work of the enemy. The enemy knows who he can destroy. He goes for the weak ones. You know, you just get someone saved, and you know, if you don't get them and disciple them and go through, the devil will just take them away because they don't know all these things. All right, so we've got to remember that and come around these new people. And we have to stand. And God's promise is this: you will be able to stand if you walk in the power of the Spirit, and if you use the armour that's been given to us spiritually, we will stand, and he promises that. I'm still standing. This church is still standing. We're all still standing together. You know, we could have went down, but we didn't. All right. So then we go on to, it outlines the armour, and the first defensive weapon in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So girded means to be put on, be prepared, like a belt. And the NLT just shows it a little bit differently. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armour of God's righteousness. So God gives us weapons to fight these battles, and these weapons give us some interesting insights into the roles that they play. So the belt of truth, it represents the core of one's life being grounded in God's truth, which holds everything together, providing stability like a soldier's belt. So this belt wasn't just to keep his pants up. It was used, you could hang other elements off the belt, which he did, other weapons, so that he had ready access when he needed it. And so on that truth, the truth of God's word, hangs all of the other instruments, all of the other weapons that we're going to need. The belt of truth is the core one. And if we don't believe the truth of God, then there's nothing to hang on to. All right? Nothing to hang the rest of these things on to. So we've got to establish the truth first. And if you don't believe God's truth when you go into battle, well, then you've got nothing. You've got nothing to hang on to. John says in John 8, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hey, Loris. That's her voice. So there's power in the truth, and if we're smart, we should pattern our lives after the truth to the best of our ability. And we have to allow the word of God to influence us and be convinced in our hearts that it is true. No doubting. And if I don't gird myself with that understanding right from the get-go, I may as well try and avoid the battle. But the problem is, you can't, because the battle will come sooner or later, whether you like it or not. So you've got to get ready. So you better get this first point right, and that's the truth of God's word. The second part of that verse 14 says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. This pictures the metal armour of the breastplate, which is the upper torso, and it was designed on the soldiers to protect their vital organs. So spiritually, because we're talking spiritually here, the breastplate
plate guards the heart. It guards our identity, who we are in Christ, and the decision making from Satan's schemes and from sin. So the spiritual significance is that we have to lay hold of the fact that righteousness was not our own. We are righteous now. But so going into the battle, we need to know that righteousness has been given to us through Jesus Christ. Okay? Because the enemy will play mind games with you, and you would know all about it. He will replay the videos in your head of how awful you were, of all the dumb things you've done, all the stupid things you've done and said. He will replay them in your mind, and he will tell you that you're disqualified from God's love and God's grace. But the truth is, this is where you've got to get back to the truth, that Jesus came and he took our disqualification, he nailed it to the cross, and now we stand in his righteousness, not our own. So you need to have a firm grasp on that. When you're in battle, who are you? You are the righteousness of Christ, or of God through Christ. So you cannot rely on those videos in your head for the truth. Get them out, renew your mind, change your thinking. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, to confirm it, he said, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That's who we are. We are the righteousness of God through Christ. So if you're feeling unrighteous and you're feeling disqualified and you're feeling that you've done too many things, that's the devil. Tell him to get out. You have authority. But believe what God says about you, that you are forgiven, you are redeemed, and you are a child of God. So, and if somehow, you know, it's nothing you can earn, you can't get brownie points for it, nope. Satan will do his level best to convince you that you've got to do otherwise. But if somehow, somewhere in you, you're thinking that your acceptance of God is dependent on how good you are, you've got it wrong. Yeah. Where none of us were good, we're only good in Christ. Okay? So don't ever believe the lie of the devil. Get the truth on. Put that bit on your belt of truth. All right. Verse 15. "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, the shoes that the Roman soldiers wore were described as thickly studded with sharp cleats, they called them, sharp grip nails, and to ensure a good grip. Not unlike, I guess, the shoes that track workers in the runners wear today, or even cyclists wear them today, to get a good grip, all right? So these are spiritual shoes, because we're fighting a spiritual battle, and it refers to our stability, our sure footedness, that comes through the gospel, so we can stand. Because the enemy wants to knock you over, but if you're gripped in to the truth, and your shoes are on in the spirit, and you've got a good grip, he's not going to be able to do that. So it means having a solid, ready foundation to counteract the devil, to endure the temptation and the trials, and advance the gospel, unlike sluggish, unprepared feet. So be sure that you have fitted on your shoes with the readiness of the gospel, so that you can stand and not be moved. Verse 16, "Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." In most cases, the Roman soldiers carried a shield that was made out of wood, but then the enemy would shoot arrows with flame, so they were light. And of course, this wood would you know, catch on fire. So they would then overlay them with linen and with leather, so that they would quench or absorb the fiery darts that were thrown at them. And so in this case, Paul reveals to us that the goal of the shield of faith is to extinguish the fiery darts of the devil. And they come in the form of lies, persecution, deception, betrayal. When he throws all those things at us and tells us that we're no good, they come at us like a fiery dart. You know, maybe you've had words spoken over you that are not right, but somehow they've stuck in you. Well, they've got to go. And the way to extinguish those things is to have faith. To have faith, who? In God.
Amen.
Faith in God and in His Word. And if you're going to believe the lies of the devil, because once you get the devil in there, then your feelings start to feel like you're no good. You're not just thinking it now, it's gone from here to here, and you're feeling it. Well, because your feelings will take priority, but you can't go on your feelings. Your feelings lie to you. They're your worst enemy. So you've got to believe what the Bible says about you. And faith is the key. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, he was given a message from God. And it was for King Ahaz. Because King Ahaz was facing a very challenging situation with other kings around him trying to take him out. And here's what the Lord said through Isaiah to tell King Ahaz. You do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So you've got to stand firm in your faith.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what attack you're under, keep standing, keep believing, keep that faith strong. I mean, this is pretty straightforward, and this came from the Lord to Isaiah. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all. So the things in the Bible, maybe there's things you don't understand, there's things I don't understand. But if God says it and it's in here, I'm going to believe it. He gives me understanding when I need it. I'll never understand anything. None of us ever will. But I'm going to say, Lord, if you say it, I believe it. I believe by faith that it's true. So we believe by faith. And again, we're not going to understand everything. This is really important that your faith is strong in His Word. It's actually critical to our spiritual warfare. And if you're weak in those enemies, the devil will start working on you because his aim is to shatter you. He only comes to rob, to steal or destroy you, kill you, one of those. That's his aim.
Mm-hmm.
He'll try to, you know, shatter you, break you, whatever he can, because the best Christian is an offended Christian or a weak Christian that then drops off the charts. That's what he loves to do best. Because, I mean, if he's going to kill you and you're saved, you're going to go to heaven, so he doesn't win that war. All right? So his aim is going to break you, that you would be so weak or offended and think, oh, well, God doesn't work. It's not true. It didn't help me. And he'll get you that way. And how many people do you know that were in church that aren't anymore? For whatever reason, the enemy's taken them out. Now, I mentioned earlier that Peter made the statement about the devil who's prowling around like a lion, looking for someone to devour. Well, the following verse after that says this: resist him. Firm in your faith. If you can be firm in your faith, you don't have to listen to what he says. And this is how we resist him, how we stand against the enemy. It's through faith. And I know we've all wavered at times in our faith through different challenges and attacks from the enemy, and we've all struggled. But this is what faith, I wrote this, the next slide. Biblical faith means complete trust, even when we don't understand. And reliance on God and His promises, going beyond our intellectual understanding. Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for that we can't yet see. And the Bible says that without it, it's impossible to please God. So we need to start using our faith to build up. All right. And you know, if you're struggling, we have a prayer altar every week. We can encourage you. You can send me a message and I can be praying for you if you're going through something specific and you just need that extra prayer. I mean, you can pray for yourself, which is a great thing to do, but if you need someone to stand, we're here to stand with you, because we're the body of Christ. Who better than to encourage each other than our spiritual family, our church family? Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, helmets have been worn forever in battle, still today. Soldiers today still wear these helmets, and it's obvious to protect their head, right? This emphasizes spiritual readiness by protecting the mind. The mind and hope, the hope of salvation, and using the Scripture as an offensive weapon against the devil. And this is crucial for overcoming temptation. You see, my mind's just going crazy and thinking things. I tell it, you've got the mind of Christ. I've got the mind of Christ. And if your thoughts aren't lining up with what they should, then tell yourself, I've got the mind of Christ. No. I'm not silly, I'm not whatever. I've got the mind of Christ. And I'll tell you what, it's going to come in line with Christ's thinking. Okay. So, repeating there. Okay, and Jesus, he used the word of God when the devil was tempting him, didn't he? He didn't go into all justifying himself or whatever. He didn't need to. He just spoke the word to the devil. So working this out spiritually, Paul also gives us another little scripture here in 1 Thessalonians. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. So that's clear thinking. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet for the hope of salvation. So without a doubt, one of the enemy's most powerful tools is to destroy our hope. Because if we can do that, when we're into discouragement and disappointment, it will set in and we are easy prey. And it'll take you out of the race. So the helmet of salvation protects us against hopelessness and discouraging us by reminding us of the important things that are connected to my salvation. Because I can't just sit back and think, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I've got my ticket, I can do nothing, I don't do anything anymore. No, our salvation means now we can do works for God because we're saved, not to get saved. We can do good things. We can encourage one another. So our salvation is more just about us being saved. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? The Bible says. And then there's the sword of the Spirit. This big sword of the Spirit. You know what the Bible says about it? It says that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God is sharper. That's why I like to pray the word, because it's sharp. And it has this power in the word. So Paul is urging the church to use these scriptures as a weapon against Satan in the same way that Jesus did to defeat him. It's in Hebrews, that scripture, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, and it cuts between soul and spirit. That's a good weapon to have, isn't it? The word of God. And then verse 18, as we're almost there. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the spirit. In the spirit, notice. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So the word supplication means refers to being earnest, sincere, to put our request forward. So there's the next slide. I got these points just out of that scripture. Pray in the spirit. Prayer isn't just human effort, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need to pray God's prayer. What's God saying about it? On all occasions, prayer should be continuous, not just at set times. Mm-hmm. You can pray any time of the day. You can talk to God like he's your friend. Amen. I talk to me in Woolies if I need to. Wherever, it doesn't matter. Obviously, we need our prayer time where we can be quiet and still before the Lord, but we can pray on all occasions. I love that. With all kinds of prayer, which includes supplications, petitions, and requests. Be alert and persevere. So we need to maintain watchfulness and never give up praying. And for all the saints, which is a call to intercessory prayer for other believers. So prayer is a vital for spiritual warfare. And you know what? If we're fighting a spiritual battle, how do we need to pray? In the spirit. In the spirit. Now, I've never pushed anyone to pray in the spirit, because it's got to be something that you want. This is a gift that God has given to each one of us. Have you picked up that gift yet? Have you opened that gift yet? Because it is for each one of us. Praying in the Spirit is a personal thing. The gift of praying in tongue out here is not. That's a gift for the church. So our praying in the Spirit is something that when I pray in the Spirit, I'm going directly to God. In the heavenly realms, directly, and the devil has no idea what I'm saying. And you know, sometimes you just, that's all you need is praying in the Spirit. And like I said, I don't push anybody to do it, but I pray that you would desire that gift so that you can use it too. And it also says that it builds us up. It makes us bold and confident. And there's truth in that. We'll know the truth. He'll give you a word. He'll tell you something. And, you know, in the battles that I've fought, that has been my most powerful weapon, is praying in the Spirit. And then praying always. You know, if you don't start to pray now, little bits of prayer, you know, here and there, when the battle comes, you're not going to know how to pray. So, again, like faith, if we don't have that little faith as a mustard seed and believe for the little things, we're never going to be able to believe if something huge comes upon us. It's, you know, a bit like a soldier, sending a soldier out to battle in the military without giving him any training. Here's your gun, here's your helmet, here's your boots, off you go. No, we need to be prepared and to learn these weapons that we have that have been given to us. You see, a lot of people that face battles, they don't have perseverance. They give up too easy too. You know, if you're not used to praying, if you're not used to reading the Word, if you're not used to these things, then it's going to take you out or at least damage you until you can get back up again. So really, prayer is not optional. It's just talking to God. It's just committing things to Him. And the other thing is to be watchful. Don't give up. Keep alert. You know, one problem that I see today, and I'll battle it myself, is that we're so distracted. So distracted with technology, on our phones, watching YouTube or whatever it is. Maybe you're a workaholic, I don't know. But things will come in and the devil will make sure that you can be distracted. It's his biggest trick, I think. It's an easy one because technology has got most of us sucked into a point. And if we don't, we're going to get into a place of spiritual slumber. And it's something that we have to guard our hearts against, being too busy. Paul says in the second part of that scripture, be watchful with all perseverance. And sometimes, like, we don't want to be like those disciples that kept falling asleep when Jesus said, just pray, just stay here and pray. We just got to push through. If you're tired or whatever, you've got to push through. Get up on your feet, walk around and pray. That's how I do it, because otherwise my mind's thinking something else and whatever. So persevere, push through. Paul says in Romans 13, 11 and 12, and do this, understanding the present time. You see, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. So it's time for us to wake up and to be watchful. The last couple of verses, Paul sort of just checks out. Here he goes. And as for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. How good that he was only under house arrest and he got to write us this letter. So as I just finish now, as I close now, I'll just summarise. Life is a battlefield. We have a dangerous enemy. Worldly temptations are many. Our flesh is weak. Jesus is victorious on the cross, and in Christ we're more than conquerors, all right?
Amen.
So we do not have to be in fear. This is not a fear message. This is, let's be alert, let's wake up, let's put on our truth, get the truth, let's put on our faith, hope for salvation, shoes so that we can take a good grip, so that we're ready to run from temptation or whatever we need to do. And so we can stand because we know we can live in victory. And we can.
Amen.
And we can. And last scripture, James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and here's the promise, and he will flee from you. You see, all the things we've been talking about, the full armor, that is how you resist. That's what we need to do, the work of resistance. And then verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wow. So that finishes Ephesians chapter 6. So I really pray that you take those armour and that you understand it. It's not just the weapon, it's not just the soldier looking and putting on a breastplate, but do what it says. It's faith, it's truth, it's the hope of salvation, it's the shoes of the gospel and of peace. That's what they stand for. So when you put them on, think of those things instead of just the belt. Just say, I'm going to wear your truth. I'm going to be truthful. And I am putting out a call to you today that if you, it doesn't matter if you're facing a spiritual battle or not, one day you will be if you haven't already. There's always one around the corner or something, isn't there?
Amen.
Especially as we start to grow. Especially as things start to go good. The enemy like, I don't like that. And you know we'll try and come in. But he doesn't have to come in if we're armed up. We're all ready with the truth, with the word of God, to resist those things.
Amen.
But if you today think, well, yeah, I've resisted, you know, speaking, praying in the spirit, I've resisted some of those things. I just encourage you to get that going again. You know, just desire the gift, stir it up in yourself. And you know, if you want to come out, I would love to lay hands on you and so you can receive that. Or you can do it if you've already done it and you've just been slack, get it going again. Because this is the time and the days are near and the devil's fighting because he knows the times are near too. And this is the weapons that we need. So just encourage you. So let's finish in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you give us warning and you give us every weapon, every gift that we would ever need for our walk. Lord God, our Christian walk. We don't need anything more. You've done a finished work on the cross and you've given us these. And so we can walk in victory knowing that the battle has been won already, even though Satan comes in with his little things. So, Father, I pray for every person that's heard this today through Zoom or that's going to listen to it later. I just thank you, Father, that it would stir us up to desire the gifts of the Spirit to help us in these battles that come. And I commit the word and everything to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.